So today I'm going to take us through a bit of a journey, but I want to make it a little bit interactive. And every time I do something, Pastor Kevin always sees me as the pragmatic person. So, okay, we've talked about the theory. Okay, now Johnny, yep, what now? What are we going to do? Hurry up, let's do it. So I'm always that person. So today I'm going to go through some passages of Scripture. Hopefully the passage of Scriptures shouldn't shock you. It should be something that you have a sense of, oh, okay, so it's, I know that passage. Hopefully there's a sense like that. And then as we take this journey, it hits you afresh. It hits you in a way that says, wow, I'm moved to do something now. I don't want just head knowledge, but wow, it connects with me at a deeper level. So if we could get the PowerPoint on. As some of you were aware or are aware, we went to a planning retreat. And this was a great planning retreat. Vang was there and Vang said to me, I'm his brother-in-law, so he can speak to me at a level where he just says what he thinks. He says, hey, Johnny, I thought it was going to be boring. Hey, honestly, I thought it was going to be boring. It was pretty good. It was actually pretty good. It wasn't boring. And honestly, everyone that was there, it was pretty good. It was amazing. And a part of the session was Pastor Kevin got us to split into groups. And I think there was about maybe five or six tables. And out of those five or six tables, there was about maybe five or six on each table. And we had a session of brainstorming and what we're going to do for the next 3 years. Well, what are we going to do here at Southside for the next 3 years? And I think each table came up with like about 15 or 20 ideas. So you can imagine, if we collated all of those ideas and strategies together, there was over 100 ideas. And we placed them all up on the wall. And I'm not sure if it's been shared here in this congregation, but one of the greatest ideas, one of the greatest statements that came out was Southside is not one congregation. Southside International Church is not one congregation. We are Southside as a whole. When someone comes to Christ in the Hmong congregation, it's not the Hmong congregation, it's they come to Christ at Southside. When someone from the Mandarin gets baptized, it's not from the Mandarin congregation, it's someone from Southside got baptized. It's pretty powerful. God said, no, it's not good enough that the youth worship across the road. We want them under one roof. Amen? Amen. Southside International is not one congregation. It is all of us together. So one of the things came out after 100 or so ideas was the need to be more intentional with loving other congregations, with loving us within our congregations, to have this unity of fellowship within Southside. Because that's who we are. The other big thing that came out, so we sort of tried to get all of those. I actually led this session, and it was one of the hardest sessions. I thought it was going to be easy, but it took longer than we thought. And it got to a point where people were yelling out and saying, no, look after the young kids and the youth. And the people over here were saying, no, it's discipleship. Some people were saying it's evangelism. Some people were saying, you know, we couldn't get it down. I eventually said, stop. Go into your groups and just talk about them. So we went into the groups and we were talking about them because we had to try to break down all of these different ideas and strategies into something that we could see. So the first one, like I just said, was this idea of all of us being together. Southside's not one congregation. Southside is all of us. This other notion that came out was this idea of missions. This idea that we need to look beyond ourselves. Let's look to our community. Let's look to the ends of the world. Let's look to other nations. And that's what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on today on missions. My brothers and sisters, it's great that we went away on a retreat, a planning retreat. That's great. But it means absolutely nothing if we come back, we sing Kumbaya, and then we go back to work. We need to take action. We need to take it seriously. So today, my prayer is that the Word of God may touch you afresh, transform us from the inside out. Now again, I purposely, through my prayers, the passage that came up shouldn't surprise anyone. The Great Commission. After all that was said and done and argued, it came down to the Great Commandment, Great Commission. That was the will of God. I was like, why did we even go to the planning retreat? It's just there already. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, how many people have heard this? Can I have a show of hands? Let's keep your hands up. How many people have heard this Bible verse? And as I'm reading it, you're like, yeah, therefore go to. Let me continue reading. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, that's important. And three persons in one. And then he continues on and says, teaching them to obey me in everything that we've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Please allow me to pray before we get into the Word of God. Father God, we come before you and ask for a fresh anointing. So often we come to passages of Scripture like this, and it's just normal. Our hearts are hardened to these Scriptures, Lord, because we're so used to them. Father God, I pray that you touch our hearts afresh. Make our callous hearts soft so we may feel, Lord, your heart, Father, and that we may have a heart to go and make disciples. Father God, we pray that your presence may continue to flood this room and our hearts as we continue in worship and listen to your word. Lord, we give you our lives and ask you to lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we go into this scripture, it's really important to understand that context matters. Context matters. You see, this Bible scripture, it's actually post-resurrection. Let me say that again because it's so important, my brothers and sisters. This passage here, the Great Commission, is what Jesus said to his disciples after Jesus rose from the dead. So what does that mean? That means that this morning, I want you to hear it in that light, please. I want you to have in the front of your mind, this isn't just Jesus, another person. No, this is the Jesus that said, not once, not twice, but three times to his disciples, I'm going to die and be risen from the dead. This is who is saying this. Context matters. Now, why does context matter? There was a disciple. There was a disciple that said, I don't believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, unless I can put my finger through his hand. If we're sitting here today, my brothers and sisters, and you're doubting the resurrection of Christ, the Great Commission loses its power. Just like this disciple here, who had not yet witnessed the power of the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection, the fact that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. Understanding that from the inside, not having any doubt that Jesus rose from the dead, changed this disciple to move across into a land called India and proclaim the name of Jesus. That only the name, under the name of Jesus, that we can be saved. Someone who doubted to someone who literally gave his life and transformed the nation. Context matters. On the one hand, we have a disciple who says, "I'll go and save you, Jesus. If everyone else leaves Jesus, I'm here for you." But at that pivotal time, when Jesus was captured by the Pharisees and the chief priests, this very same disciple said, "I don't know Jesus. No, I don't know him." And denied Jesus, as we know. Not once, not twice, but three times. Context matters. As we think about the Great Commission, my prayer is that you may look into your own soul and your own life and ask yourself the question. I want you to really ask yourself this question. Who is Jesus? Did Jesus really die? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? C.S. Lewis famously said, "Jesus is either a madman or he's really God." Got to choose. I love the quote by A.W. Tozer. One of my favorite books is The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. It's amazing. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Let me read that quote again and explore it just quickly. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Not about God, not about another person, but it's about you. Why? Because when you look at yourself in the mirror, and when you see yourself in the mirror and ask yourself the question, "Is Jesus truly God?" Do you tremble? Do you get goosebumps? Do you have this fear like, wow, God knows me and he died for me. Wow, he really did. When you think about God, does that come to mind? It is the most important thing, because that either brings you to your knees or it's, "Well, I'm busy, let's go out and have fun." It is so important. Context matters. Not just biblically context matters. Your life context matters. Every time you hear scripture, it should be all like a double-edged sword, right? It should always be piercing your heart. Why? Because your life should always be changing. Your life context should be different 5 years ago, last week, 2 years from now. It's always changing. The Word of God is alive and active, piercing your heart constantly. This is the Word of God. So who do you see when you think about God today? Because that's going to determine how seriously you take the Great Commission. Maybe we took the Great Commission seriously 5 years ago when we were in ministry. But today, no, I'm not in ministry no more, so other people can do it. No, it is the Great Commission. It is a commandment. What does a commandment mean? Commandment means our chief in heaven. Our Lord is not asking us, what's he doing? He's commanding us. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's not a request. It's a command. What does that mean? We don't have an option, really. We choose to do it out of love. We choose to do it out of an understanding that Jesus is God. We choose to go because we want his name to be known. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what the Hmong congregation did. And this is a part of our implementing the strategy. Now, I want to bring this to us here today. And I want us to really think about it. Today's date is the 25th of the 11th, 2018. What I want you to do, I want you to search your heart. Who in your family, in your web of influence, your friends, your family, who has not yet come into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, what I want you to do, if it's okay, I want you to write their names down. I want you to actually write it on your phone and stamp this date. Can you do that? I know this is a bit different. Can we actually take out our phones or a piece of paper and write down a person's name and today's date? Now, as you're doing that, whichever person God's put on your heart that's not a Christian yet, could I please ask you to actually write their name down with today's date? My father-in-law prayed for me. I never knew. One of the greatest men that I know, Yong Sa Lo, my father-in-law prayed for me. He's now gone to be with the Lord. He was one of the people that founded the Hmong congregation. Yong Sa Lo prayed for me. I never knew. For 8 years. And he wrote my name down. And he wrote the date and he prayed. Sal, those who know Sal, they still have that piece of paper now. They prayed for Sal for 20 years. They prayed for Sal for 20 years to come to Christ. 20 years. And Yong Sa Lo and Jay had the privilege of seeing their prayers answered. 20 years. I said to Sal, you're terrible. They only prayed for me for 8 years. You're terrible. I'm only 8. You're 20. Why do I ask you to write down the name and a date? Because one day I want you to go to them and say, this is how much I love you. I've been praying for you since now. I've got it recorded. I've got it recorded. My brothers and sisters, what would it mean to you if that person you wrote down, that person you're thinking about, What would it mean to you if they were sitting right next to you today? Right now? What would it mean to you if that person came into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you knew for sure that they were saved forever? Now, here's my next question to the Hmong congregation, and I want to ask you this too. Do you even pray for that person? Do you even pray for that person? You can answer that to God right now. Do you even pray for that person that you so lovingly want to come to Christ? I mean, do you get on your knees and ask God? We don't convert people. Human beings, it has to be God. It's not us, it's Him. So then I asked my brothers and sisters, and I'm asking you, then why aren't you praying? If you're that passionate about them coming to Christ, and you've tasted the living God, you've tasted the living waters, why are you not praying? We can't do it in our strength. So again, the question is this. What would it mean to you that they were sitting right next to you right now worshiping Christ? I feel like I don't want to go on unless I pray. Right now, the very person you're thinking about, I want to stop right now and say to God, God, this is a priority right now. I want to stop everything and say, my priority right now is the very person that your child has placed into your hands. I want to pray for that soul. Right now. So let's close our eyes, open our hearts to God, and let me beg God to hear our cries, hear our prayers for our loved ones. Lord, we know it's your will because the Great Commission says to go and make disciples. The Great Commission promises that you will be with us to the very end of the age. Lord, we acknowledge that in our own strength it is futile, it is silly, it is not possible. We've shared the gospel many times to our loved ones, but their hearts are hardened. Lord, right now we place the very person, the very people, the family that you put on our hearts this morning, we place them into your hands, Lord, and we cry to you as a church, we cry to you, and we ask for a movement of your spirit, we ask for a miracle, we believe that it can be done. We believe, Lord, that they can come into an intimate relationship with you, but only through you, Lord, and only through your revelation. Lord, we pray for our loved ones. Oh, Lord, we so dearly want them to be sitting next to us worshiping you. We so dearly want them, Lord, to come to have eternal life in you. For their sake, Jesus. For their sake, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Not for our sake. It's not for us. It's because we love them so much. How much do you love that person? How much do you want that person to know what you know, taste what you taste, have the hope to go where you're going to go? My brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you right now, and I'll say it at the end as well. I want to challenge us. If you don't do anything else, pray for them. If you can't even spend 1 minute every single day praying for that person, you're not serious. Your view of God may be a little bit warped. Let us pray. I have this niece, some of you may know her, Janet. I've been praying for this girl for 4 years. 4 years I've been praying for her. I've been wrestling. She's even gone on a mission trip. And I'm thinking, is she a Christian? Is she a Christian? And the answer is, not yet. But if my father-in-law can pray for me for 8 years, I can pray for someone for at least 8 years, right? I feel sorry for Sal again. He's got to go 20 years. Every single week, I ask God for a miracle. You know what's so hard? It's like she's almost there, but then she's not. And you feel like just picking that apple up and saying, come on, wake up. Yes. She's like, Uncle, I'm still thinking about it. What are you thinking about? But we can't pick the apple too soon because it's not us. It has to be of God. If it's of men, it knows how to die off men. But if it comes from the power of the Spirit, then it knows how to be sustained to the true vine and has the power of the Spirit. So we cannot and we should not manipulate, force, trick. We have to get on our knees and ask for the miracle of life. I was sitting down with Sal and we went through this with the Hmong congregation and Sal just looks at me and later on he goes, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, why? Why do you need to talk to me? He goes, because if people come to Christ, do you know what that means, Johnny? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, who's going to look after them? There's a responsibility if the very person that you've asked God just now, if they come to Christ, there's a responsibility, right? I mean, do we understand that? We're not going to throw them to Pastor Kevin and say, okay, Kev, it's yours now. Because we pay you, right? No. You know, I've only got 4 kids in my family. My wife is pregnant with our fifth. Thank you. For those that don't know, I've got 4 girls, right? So I'm hoping for a boy. Hey. The word of God says, unless you have someone to interpret your word of tongues, don't speak. Don't speak. So, you know, I'm going to have 5 kids and I'm almost at the Hmong average of 7 kids. So I need 2 more kids to have the Hmong average of 7 kids. But why do I share this? I share this because for any parent, you understand. What I'm going to say next, any parent will understand. To look after a newborn baby is so hard. I feel sorry for the couples who've never had kids and you have sleepless nights. Sometimes I get so tired. My wife's like, hey, feed the child. I'm like, all right. So you make the bottle and you just put it in somewhere. Later on, my kid starts crying and I realize I'm putting it in the ear instead of the mouth because you're so tired, right? You're just putting it down. Hey, don't laugh. You guys will go through it. I'm telling you. But in the same way, God uses the word born again. Physically, they may be old, the person you thought about. But when they come into the Christian family, they are born again. And they need someone to nurture them. They need someone to feed them. They need someone to protect them. They need someone to show them. Let me ask you again the question.
Do you want that person to come to Christ? If you do, here's the honest statement here. The Great Commission said, therefore go and make disciples. The Great Commission doesn't say, go and lead them in the Lord's Prayer and then move away. No. Make disciples. It is hard. Very hard. It says to go and make disciples. Making disciples is a part of the commandment. It's a part of the Great Commission. And it's a part of our 3-year planning strategy. It's a part of all this. It's interwoven together. But my brothers and sisters, it takes time. It takes time. And a lot of time. I remember one time it was Father's Day, and I was at, it was Father's Day, and, you know, we went to Sue's place to have dinner. But I had a Bible study that I had to go to, and I was leading the Bible study. So I drop off my whole family there, and we're about to have Father's Day dinner. And then I said, look, yeah, but I have a Bible study I have to attend to. So I drive, and I'm at their house, and I'm knocking on the door, and no one's opening the door. And I still remember, I'm like, oh, I don't know where they are. So I'm knocking on the door. It's 6:30. 6:30 turns to 6:40. 6:40 turns to 6:45. And I'm still waiting there trying to call them. No one's opening the door. And at 7 o'clock, I texted them. And I said, now I have to go. I came back to the Father's Day dinner, and they had all finished eating. And then I'm like, okay, I come here. And then my father-in-law says, weren't you supposed to be at Bible study? And I'm like, yeah, but they didn't turn up. He goes, doesn't matter, you've done your job. I'm like, okay. Later on, I call him, and I got in contact with him, and I said, where were you? And he says, oh, so I forgot. I was actually at a barbecue. Oh, I forgot we had a Bible study. Guess what I did next week? I went around again, and I knocked on the door. And I went through the Bible study with him again. If you're a home group leader, you will know my pain. Now, I've heard every single excuse under the sun. You know, I've got assessments due. I've got assignments due. You know, I'm sick. I've got something on. I can't make it. I'm sorry for God. I've heard them all. But you know what we do? We continue discipling them. We have to hold that space. You see, what's the temptation? The temptation is this, my brothers and sisters. Well, if you're not committed, I'm not committed. Well, let's just stop now. Trust me when I say this, your excuses don't really, it's not really, I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but we know your excuses. Do you know why we know them? Because we're the ones that used them once before too. That's why we know them. I've got some really good ones. If you want, let me know. I tell you some. I've got some really good ones. But I stopped using them. Now, if we're going to disciple each other, we need to take this seriously. And let us not give up meeting together. Like some have the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another. A strategy that Southside International Church has is small groups. That's a key strategy of discipling, of mentoring, of nurturing these young Christians to become mature Christians. That very person that you thought about, they need to be connected to a home group. It's not the only strategy, but it's a key component of growth. Now, every single time we have a home group, I always explain to the home group participants this fact. Your posture matters. We go to the home group to be a part of the home group. We do not go to the home group with the posture and mentality of, okay, I'm going to this home group now, SP, what can I get off you? Okay, what am I going to get now, SP? All right, what am I going to get? And if I don't get nothing, I'm not interested. See, that is such a wrong posture. That's the wrong attitude. I'm sorry if this offends anyone. But that attitude is a selfish attitude. That attitude is a wrong attitude. No, we need to go with the attitude and posture of, how can I serve? SP, what do you need me to do? SP, how can I take over the next mission trip? Yeah. If you're connected to a home group, it has to change. It's not what can I get from this, it's how can I serve you, my brothers and sisters. And if you have that mentality, it changes. If you have that mentality, your group will grow. Without that mentality, it becomes a secluded in-group that people can't get into. And that's actually not really healthy. So discipleship is all of this. Patience. How can I serve you? This posture needs to be there. And with this posture there, everyone grows together for the glory of Christ. So if it's that hard, Johnny, why bother? Seriously, why bother if it's that hard? I'm working. I didn't even get the time to see my kids. I'm doing assessments and studies. And you're asking me, Johnny, to commit to a home study? Are you serious? Why bother? I tell you why. It's so important. Because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's why it's important. It's important because God Himself came and gave up His life for you. Now, what I'm going to say next, it may sound a bit weird. But seeing someone come to Christ is more beautiful than even yourself coming to Christ. I've had the privilege of seeing over 100 people come to Christ. And I'm telling you, it is better. When the penny finally drops and they're like, Johnny, I get it. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I'm like, that's what I've been trying to tell you for 5 years. Yes, you get it. And they're like, no, you don't understand, Johnny. No, you don't understand. I get it. I finally get it. I'm like, I know. I've been trying to tell you for 5 years. They're like, no, I get it. No, grace. Do you know what grace is? I'm like, yeah, I know what grace is. No, you don't know what grace is. I'm like, I know what grace is. And like the penny drops for them. They're like, no, because I didn't do anything. I'm like, I know you didn't do nothing. Like, no, you don't understand. Johnny, you don't get it. I'm like, I get it. I've been trying to tell you this for so many years. It's better. It's so much better when we've invested in someone and then God reveals and says, hey, I let you see that. It's not of us. God says, I let you see that. And you're privileged to see that. Because God done it, not us. But as I always say, we have front row seats of what God's doing. It's not us, it's Him, it's all Him. So why bother? Because you have the privilege of seeing God at work. You have the privilege of being used by God. You have the privilege of impacting someone's life for eternity. And it's all right in front of you. Now we can either be a witness to that, or we can be too busy that we don't understand that, we don't see that. I know what I'll choose. I want to see God at work. And anyone who's seen that, whether it's on a mission trip or whether it's in a home study group, anyone who's seen God at work, you're like, wow, I would never have dreamed of that. I would never have thought of that. He keeps working, and he chooses to allow us this privilege of seeing that. He doesn't need you and me. God doesn't need me and you, but he chooses to allow us to see this and to witness it. It is a privilege. So that's why we bother. So to close in prayer, I would challenge us to pray. Pray for that person that God's put on your heart this morning. And take it seriously. Don't take it seriously because Pastor Johnny said. Take it seriously because you know who God is. Take it seriously because it is Him alone who changes hearts and lives. So I want to challenge you to pray. Pray for your loved one. Let's close in prayer. Father God, to truly understand the privilege of being used by you to witness your work. Wow, Lord, it is so, so amazing. We want to commit our brothers and sisters, commit these beautiful people in our lives that don't yet know you into your hands. And Lord, as Isaiah said when he came into your presence, woe is me. Who am I but a sinful person? But also as Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Use me, Lord. We ask for your glory. We ask for saved souls, and we boldly come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.